Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the live stream for St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church. I am your host, Pastor Landis Fisher. It's a blessing to be here with you today. We thank God for another day's journey, and it is a blessing to come before you at this time. We also come in the name of the Most High God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we want to thank God for another day. Today happens to be First Lady and my 12th wedding anniversary, so we're blessed of God to celebrate 12 years of having been together. And got a lot of good things to thank God for from our relationships. Amen. So we want to go right ahead at this time and celebrate God with a word of prayer. Amen. We hope that you remember the things that are on your mind, things that have troubled you through the week, situations that you feel over your head, stuff that you just want to thank God for, bad relationships, good relationships, good times, bad times, whatever. Remember all of that at the time that you pray. Amen. The scripture says, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Amen. Amen. So let us pray. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we lift you up, Father, which is our highest priority, to give you praise. We glorify your name today, Father, the best we know how, because you are excellent and worthy to be praised, Father. We thank you for another day's journey. We thank you for loving us, O God, so much that you gave your Son, Jesus, to be crucified for us in order to wash away our sins. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for everything that you have done, Lord God, and we ask a blessing on all these ears and families and lives and people who are listening right now, Lord God. And we thank you for every one of them, Lord. We realize that you didn't have to do it, but you did. Amen. And we thank you, Lord God, for your love, your grace, your mercy. And above all, God, we thank you for your word that lets us know these things about you that we otherwise could not understand. So, Father, we want to praise you. Thank you for blessing marriages and families and everybody, Lord, covering us with a blanket of protection. Father, we thank you for all that you have done. You've been in all of our matters, in all of our affairs, Lord, in life, everything we have to deal with. You have been there. And so, Father, we thank you that you've been an anchor in the midst of a storm. We thank you that you have been shelter from the storm. Lord God, we thank you and bless you for all the provision that you have made. Lord God, and we thank you for holding back judgment that we deserved and all of these things, Lord. And so we just bless you right now, Father. We pray for this country and this world, Lord, all of which are in turmoil because of many, many things that they have done that are out of order, Lord God. And we ask, God, that you give protection and mercy, Lord God, and give us time to share this gospel so that they can turn around and get right. And Father, right now we know they are not right. So many are wrong and out of the way. Lord God, they have put your word on out of their life, O God, and set it at naught. But we know that your word cannot be set at naught, Lord God, so we exalt you today. We thank you today. We repent ourselves, Lord, for ever allowing such a thing to happen in our country, Lord God. But we ask you to bless us. Give us authority, O God, to speak your word with clarity so that many will hear, O God, and come running asking, what must I do to be saved? Father, we ask a blessing on all those you have healed this week. We thank you for the ones that you have healed. We ask for blessings for those who are mourning or going through any kind of suffering or pain or grief or anything like that, Father. And we just bless you today, Father, because we know you got all power and can do anything but fail. So bless the word today, Lord, as it goes forth. Bless your people as they come in and as they go out, Lord God. And we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. And we ask all this in the matchless name of the risen Savior, Jesus the Christ, Son of the living God. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We want to thank God for letting us all be here today. As I said, we do have a word from the Lord, and our notes can be found on our website at teachingbible.org. If you happen to be there online, go ahead and get those notes if you like. So we want to have you turn to the Old Testament, to the book of the Psalms. I have to say it, I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. One of my favorite Psalms. Psalm 91. Amen. So look that up if you want to. Look that up to read along with me. Psalms 91. We're going to read the first 9 verses. The whole thing is phenomenal. It's beautiful. It's just powerful. But we're only going to take 9 verses in today just for the reading. Amen. But take these things when you get them and realize we have limited time when we're online. And so we can't really get into everything. We like to talk about all of this day after day. But in either case, I want you to understand that this Psalms 91 has very, very powerful usages that God has allowed it to be used for in all of time, throughout the whole time that it's been given through Moses. This is actually a Psalm of Moses. And then locate Matthew chapter 16 in the New Testament. And we're going to take a look at a few verses there, verses 13 to 19. Amen. So just to get started, I want you to know that God has sent Jesus Christ, his son, to redeem all who believe in him from all their sins in order that they who believe can be free from the penalty of sin. That's number one, to make us free from the penalty for sin. Sin has a penalty, and the Bible says the wages for sin is death. So Jesus came to deliver us from the ultimate penalty for sin, which is eternal death. That means a total separation from God forever and ever. And that's a penalty you don't want to have to suffer. So realize this, God sent his son, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, in order to deliver you and me from the penalty of sin, which is eternal death, separation from God. So we, those of you who have trusted Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you know that you have been freed from the penalty of sin. Amen. So you can rejoice and be glad because of that. And also, he adopted us into his family. We've been adopted into the family of God. It's not just that he redeemed us from sin, but he adopted us into his family. That's awesome. Wow. You know why? Because all of the sons of Adam were estranged or alienated from God ever since the sin of Adam. God blessed Adam with grace to continue on from the very beginning. And we need to understand that every salvation that has ever occurred, occurred by grace. There was never a salvation that anyone deserved. And there never can be, nor will there ever be. Because salvation is only by grace. It always has only been by grace. It was strictly God's grace that allowed Adam to be saved after he had transgressed against God. No other reason. God's grace was there with Adam in the garden when he sinned. And God even protected man further so that he couldn't go into eternal destruction away from his presence by guarding the way to the tree of life with cherubim, which are a particular rank of angels, most theologians believe. I saw an heard an argument the other day. Somebody said they didn't think cherubim and seraphim were angels. But the fact is that commonly has been taught throughout biblical history, pretty much even in Judaism, prior to the full revelation of the Word of God, when the Christ, the Messiah, came, that these are angelic ranks, cherubim, seraphim, and the anointed cherub, even the devil, the scripture says, is considered to be an angel, a fallen angel. And we have further proof of that in the New Testament. That's not our subject right now. But I want you to understand that Adam was saved by grace. And it was God's grace that protected and guarded the way to the tree of life to avoid him, or prevent him, I should say, from going into sin eternally and never being able to be redeemed. So God removed that possibility, and that shows you God's grace. Simply put, God loves us. His love also afforded us his grace, and his grace is what actually saves us through faith in his son. So we are saved by grace through faith, and everyone that's ever been saved has been saved by God's grace through faith. And God's grace is a marvelous thing. It's just amazing to me. That's why somebody wrote that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, to save a wretch like me. Because I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. We want to praise his name for his grace. But I want you to see this here now, that Christ came to redeem all who believe in him from all their sins, we say, in order to set us free from the penalty of sin. Now, we need that. Every one of us needs it. You know what? Because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he adopted us into his family. He provides protection for his people. That's what I really want to talk with you about today in this lesson is protection. God protects you. He's protecting you in a special way, especially if you are his. Now, I want to say this, even if you are not his, you have not made a decision to receive Christ to be your Savior, you have not committed your life to Christ, God still has provided you with protection. This is a dangerous world, and it seems haphazard so many times, like things can just come undone at a moment's notice or without notice at all. See? So we are all being protected, whether we believe or we don't. The fact is, God is protecting. He said he causes the rain to fall upon the just as well as the unjust. That means people who believe him and people who don't. God has provided the whole world for everything that they need, whether it be provisions for everyday life, food, sunshine, stuff that's like way powerful stuff, sunshine and osmosis and photosynthesis and gravity and all kinds of stuff that God has provided for us all, whether we believe him or not. And theologians kind of put that into a little capsule and call it common grace. It's common grace that goes out to everyone. And that's because God loves everyone. He has always loved everyone. And he wants everyone to be saved, but he will never force his means of salvation on you. So you have the freedom. You know why? Because God gave you that freedom. Freedom is a gift from God. And you can use it in a good way or you can use it in a bad way. God is hoping that because of his magnanimous grace in providing the whole world, believers and unbelievers, with everything they need. See, in full sufficiency, in full abundance. The earth is not missing anything. The only reason people are starving is greedy people hoard a bunch of stuff and they close a blind eye to the people who are suffering, but there's really enough to take care of everybody. But we have greed that kicks in, and greed is really predominant in our world. It's predominant right now in America. America's probably, even though it's the most blessed place on earth, it also contains the most greedy people on earth. And so we have to be very careful about these things and understand when you neglect the common grace of God, then you get into a very, very slippery slope. So our purpose as the church, those who actually believe God and realize that he sent his son, who is the most important person in human history and always will be. There is no more important person. There never, ever will be, because he is God in the flesh who came into the world to divide time on his person and his work. That's why it's 2020, this strange year we keep talking about. It's 2020 years from the birth of Christ. And so understand that Christ is the most important. Why? Because he is not only the Son of God, but he is also the Son of Man. And we're going to talk about that just a little in this lesson today, help you get some understanding. And so you can learn how to do what we have called the title of this message, Navigating Through Life with Secret Information. And it's only secret because you have rejected it. If you believe God, the secret will be revealed to you. You will come to understand things that you don't presently understand. So we hope this will happen to those who are listening today who have never embraced with their whole heart the person and the work of Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, especially Israel. We speak to them especially because it was to them that he came. It was through them that the Son was manifested to the world. It was through the seed of Abraham, who was a Gentile, who was the father of the Jews, that God brought forth Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes who became known as Israel. And it was through them, through 42 generations, that God passed the seed of Abraham all the way until Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary, who was at the end of the 42 generations, let me say, of her existence. At the end of that 42 generations from the time of Abraham to the time that Mary conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, God was passing the seed of Abraham through, and that's why Christ, one reason, there's probably a billion reasons why Jesus is the most important, most beautiful, most perfect individual that there could ever be. He is the most exciting person there could ever be. He is the most brilliant person there could ever be. He is the focal point of all people in all of time. He is the Son of God and the Son of Man. He is the Son of Righteousness. He is the only way, the truth, and the life, as he says in John 14, 6. He came to bless you. He didn't come to antagonize you. So many people are intimidated about the person and the work of Christ. But Christ came to be a blessing, to continue that grace that God started all the way from the days of Adam. And he extends it to you. He extends it to whosoever believes in him. See, no matter who you are, he's not a respecter of persons. No person has an advantage over any other person to be right with God. The only problem is mental stumbling blocks get in the way, and those are caused by many things. But when you get those stumbling blocks out the way, you know how it happens. God gives you faith. He gives you grace. And when you understand that he loves you, that's the reason he sent Christ and allowed him to be crucified for you in order to take away the penalty of sin, as we have already said. He'll take it away once and for all. You will not be labeled or destined to eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord, which will happen to everyone who consciously rejects Jesus, the Christ. So we want you to understand that today. That's the whole premise upon which all our ministry efforts rest. And we love God. We thank God for sending his Son. And the significance of the Son of God can never be underestimated or overstated, because it's just inestimably vast and beautiful. So I want you to know that. And when you accept Christ, this is what happens. You get transformed from out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. See, it's a special receipt, a special coronation that you get. When you trust Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, God puts authority and power on you. He confers the righteousness of Christ upon you. He allows Christ to cover us for our sin and take away the penalty of sin. So that puts you in a special group when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to understand that, first of all, because that's the first and foremost thing. And this is what divides the lost from the saved. And there are two groups in the whole world. You're in one of the two. Either you are in the group of the lost, or you're in the group of the saved. And we hope that you're in the group of the saved. And we want you to be. God wants you to be. He has made it possible. He's paid the bill entirely. You don't want to owe anything more than trust Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. That's why he came. So back to my original statement, he's the most important individual that's ever been born in the history of time. And I say that because he is the crux of human existence. In other words, you either stand or you fall based on what do you do with Jesus. That's why he said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. No other way that you can come. And we like to be very black and white explicit on that, because there's so much wishy-washy stuff going on in the world, so much politically correct, they call it. It's not politically correct, it's politically defective, because God has made a declaration that he will not take back. He said he has sworn and will not repent to Jesus that thou art the priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he says that in the Old Testament in the book of Psalms 110. And we talked about that previously. That's why I mentioned it again today. He says God has sworn and will not repent. Now, let me say something about that just a minute. What I want you to understand is whatever God has said is already indelible. So he doesn't need to swear about anything. He doesn't need to give confirmation to anything. All he needs to do is speak, and it's done. It's a done deal, and it cannot be altered. There is no power, no authority, no demon, no devil, no anything, no political situation, no earthly situation, no global situation that can alter what Almighty God has already said. He said it, baby, that's it. And you can hang your hat on it. Now, you know, how do you get to that certainty? Trust Christ and allow God to infuse him, you, with the Holy Spirit, which he promised he will do. For whosoever believes in Christ and believes that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So you get moved out of the common grace people over into the special grace people. You know what? I'm so happy about it myself. Once you get there, you'll be happy too. And if you're already there, you're probably jumping up and down right now. Hallelujah. I know what you're talking about, preacher. That's the way you should feel. Because God has given his Son in order to make you right and make you know that you're right. See, that's why he said, these things write I unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. So you can look these other verses up. Get a pencil. I always tell people, get a pencil or use your Apple pencil or get your typing on your notepad. Write some of these verses down so that after this worship, you can go and study a little more if you need to. But God said through the Apostle John, these things write I unto you, 1 John 5:13, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to know that you have settled that account, that my Son has covered you entirely. You know what? A lot of times we don't appreciate that we know that we have eternal life. So many Christians, people who are actually saved, struggle with it. You know why? Because they keep going back, looking at their own flesh. They look at, oh, you know, I still struggle over here, and I struggle over there, and I have a problem here and a problem there. And it looks like the stuff in the world upsets me, or it scares me, or it hurts my feelings, or I don't understand why this here is going on. No, I want to help you with that today. I want you to know something, that all those things cannot separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We have to go to Romans 8, write that on your notepad, and read what Paul said. He said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Them whom he predestined, these he also called. That means he calls you. Them he called, he also justified. That means I take away the penalty of the curse that's on the whole world of sin. I justify you. In other words, just as though you never sinned, I give you covering. I bless you with the free gift because you trust my Son and you believe that I raised him from the dead. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son. Those whom he predestined, these he also called. Them he called, he also justified. Them he justified, he also glorified. See, so God sees you as a completed work, and you can trust his word. That's what you got to do if you want to get rid of the fears of, well, I'm still struggling here, struggling there. This over here scares me. I don't know what's going to happen here. Oh, there's a dark secret over here. All that, you can dismiss that, because God wants you to walk by faith. Faith means I trust God no matter what. And you've heard me say this. I'll give the acronym once again today. Forsaking all, I trust him. I'm going to keep on saying it, because that means I got to forsake fears. I got to forsake fallenness and sharpness on my own part. I have to forsake trusting in my own flesh. I have to forsake trusting in the government. I have to forsake trusting in the world or anything. See, you know why I forsake all of that? Because God, the Most High, who gave his Son to be spit on and mauled and crucified and died on a tree by his own free will. Think about all that. He gave him so that you and me who trust him don't have to be worried. Because God's word will never fail. It cannot fail. It's just as sure as the rising of the sun. I like to put it that way. But you know what? I've been in the world quite a while. I'm not going to go into how long. But every time I've been here, the sun has never failed. It rises just like it does every day. It's there every day. It's faithful every day. You know, even it may be obscured by clouds, even something like that. But it's there, and we know it, and it never has failed, and it keeps a perfect cycle, and it never changes. You see what I'm saying? That's how God is. God made the world and the universe so that you could look at it and see how constant it is, how it's not haphazard, how it's perfect. And then not only the heavens, the Bible, that's why the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, then he says, bring you down to earth. I took you to the ends of space when I said the heavens declare the glory of God. Now I'm going to bring you back to earth, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Look around yourself and see trees and plants and animals and all that. And even the cycles that they have been perfect. Now, you know what? I'm not going to lie. They have been perfect. It's amazing how you see apple trees and they continue. They started when he made the first ones, and they have seed within themselves, as it says in the book of Genesis. And they continue to do so today. So don't buy the hype. You got all these folks, phony scientists. I'm going to call them phony because they have no proof for all the hogwash they keep foisting on the public. None. They don't have any proof. They say, oh, I have a hypothesis that there is a black hole, 1,100 million light years away. Well, you won't ever get there, buddy. You better try to trust Jesus right now. You know what? Because if it's 11 million light years, how are you going to get there? And how is that going to help you? I want you to know you it will fail you is what it will do. And that is not science. That's speculation. Let me get off my soapbox and get back on the lesson. So I need you to understand today that God sent His Son in order for you to know that you have eternal life. How can I trust Jesus? You might say, well, why should I trust Him? He was crucified. He was mauled. You know why? God predicted accurately everything that would happen to Him right here. Nothing happened that God didn't say would happen. See what I mean? Not one thing. And the fact is, everything God said did happen, including Him being crucified, nailed to a tree, which is found in Deuteronomy, all the way in the book of the law. It talked about Him being pierced in His hands and feet in Psalm 22. And you can go on and on and on, and you will find that everything that happened was documented already before it happened. That's why Jesus, when He got to the time when He had accomplished everything, including taking the bitter, sour wine to His lips that they put up on a branch of hyssop and gave Him when He said, "I thirst," which was also predicted, that He spit it out and said, "It is finished." And what He meant is everything God promised from Moses to Malachi has been finished, has been accomplished perfectly, and I'm still alive. You know what? Everything He went through should have killed Him. He would have died if He was just regular old everyday Joe. But the fact is, it did not kill Him because death could not touch Him because He had not sinned. So, and the real proof beyond the fact that He lived through all that and was able to say, "It is finished. I got everything You promised, Father. All Your word, I came and fulfilled it to a T. Every little bit, down to the very smallest detail, Jesus said, "It is finished." Tetelestai in the Greek. That means it is finished. Same word that an artist would say after he put the last brush stroke on the Mona Lisa. Tetelestai, it's done. Don't touch it. Another stroke will mess it up. And so He fixed it. He made it right. He did everything. And by that, God was satisfied. You know what? It even says that God turned His back and allowed Him to hang there to prove His righteousness. He didn't even need the support of His Father. And He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" You see, to let you see, and that was predicted in Psalms 22, He wanted you to see and me to know that Jesus Himself is fulfilling everything you need, everything I need. If you trust Him today, that's why His promise is still true today. And we know it worked because after all of that, it says that He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commit My spirit." He sent His own spirit up to God as a worship to God. The highest worship God has ever received, He received it from His Son on the cross. After He had endured the cross, despising the shame, He sent up His spirit to God, perfect and unblemished, just like Adam's original spirit had been before he sinned. See that? So God got back what He made at first, which was the one man with a perfect soul, with no sin, that you read about in the first two chapters of Genesis. It was not until the Christ, His Son, came after all those predictions over the 42 generations from Abraham to Christ, that Jesus came and perfected everything and He fixed everything and he brought to pass and blessed God with everything that Adam did not do. That's why He is called the Son of Man, because He has a physical body like man. And He is the Son of God because He could live in that body perfectly with no sin and satisfy God for you and for me and for whosoever believes in Him. That's why our message is the most phenomenal there could ever be. God said He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And this was God giving Jesus, but it was also Jesus giving Jesus. Jesus gave His own flesh to be wounded for our transgressions, as Isaiah had predicted. Bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace, and by His stripes. See, it just details everything Jesus accomplished for me and you. By His stripes, we are healed. And then Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep are gone astray. That's how we are. Everyone is turned aside to his own way. But the Lord has laid up on Him, speaking of Christ, the iniquity of us all. In other words, every imperfection you have, every apprehension that you have, every doubt that you have, every thing you're scared of, all the stuff that scares the daylights out of you. You know, there's a lot of stuff in this world that scares the daylights out of you. Me too. I'm not just you. There's some scary stuff in this world, let me say. You know, but the fact is, I can rest and forsake all and trust Him, as we said. Forsaking all, I trust Him through all of it. And that's what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Trust Christ, and He will wipe away your fears. Eventually, this is the part I love, He's going to wipe away your tears. So everything you've had to cry about that broke your heart, He's got all of that in mind, and it's all covered. And you can trust Him for everything, no matter what it is. Forsaking all, I trust Him. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Keep trusting Him. That's what the key is. So what I want you to see here today as I move along in this narrative, so we can talk about these verses that I had you look up, I want you to understand that common grace is there. That's for everybody. You know why? Because God's not upset. He's mad with sinners, but He is giving you time, just like He did Adam. Adam lived a long time from the time he sinned. And that's just because God is a gracious God. You and I who are living however old you happen to be, Abraham was 75 already. He lived 75 years, and God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And He told him to get out of your country, get away from your father's house and your kindred, and come into a land that I'll show you, He said, and I'll bless you and make your name great. One of the greatest names on earth, even right now, second to only to Jesus, is probably Abraham. Abraham is an awesome name in the world. Always will be, until time is be no more. And the fact is, his name is probably one of the most widely known names in the earth. You see? And so God loves you. That's what I got to get you to understand today. His love is not a mushy, wishy-washy, oh, you're so wonderful. It's not that kind of love. It's deeper than that. The scripture in the New Testament has the word agape. It's a deep love, and it's not based on emotion. It's not based on experience. It's not based on anything, but just it's a quality and an attribute of Almighty God. When He was making everything, He did it in love. He is love. That means He has always been love, and He always will be. But love is tolerating sin. It's tolerating bad politics. It's tolerating all these things in the world that are not right. It's tolerating hatred and discrimination and all that. It's not that God approves that at any time. You know what? And our culture has become sick with that idea, because we've been in discrimination so long in America. And I'm not just preaching to America. I preach to everybody everywhere on the planet, because the gospel is not an American message. The gospel is a global message. It's to every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. We like to try to Americanize it, but you know what? America has thrown the Bible out anyway. That's what's the problem here. That's why we got so much problem. That's why there's so much stuff wrong. That's why there's so much unrighteousness within government at every level. Because people don't even know what the counsel of the Most High God is. Because you know why? We took the Bible and pinched it out the door. And then we think we can just go on and everything's going to be peachy and dandy. No. This is the reason we have a mess right now, because we threw the word, the counsel of the Most High God, the Supreme Judge, got kicked out. And now you want to know, how are we doing? We ain't doing so good, if you want to ask me. Yeah, we're not doing so good. The paper tells me that we're not doing so good. All the news broadcasts tell me we're not doing too good. Murder is a common thing. All kinds of prejudice is common. All kinds of discrimination is common. People are starving and dying, and folks don't even care. Folks have too much over here and not enough over there. All of that is the result of injustice and casting out the truth out of the middle of the culture. And so I come up to speak today to let you know that there is common grace. That's why God is still tolerating all that. You ask, well, why would a holy God tolerate that? Because He loves you, and He's given His church time to evangelize the world, tell them the truth of the gospel, so they can repent. You know what else? The church needs to repent. The church must repent. That's why the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. He wants His people who are called by His name to humble themselves and pray, seek His face, and turn from your wicked ways. Then, He said, that, you don't know why God didn't hear you? Did you repent? Did you forsake your wicked ways? Did you ask Him for authority and power over the stuff that tangled you up so that you can seek His face and He will hear you and turn from your wicked ways? He said, then will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. Our land is sick right now. And you know what? In our culture, we can turn sick into a good thing. Oh, that's really sick. And we say that's a good thing. That's a twisted thought. But the fact is, the country and the world is sick with sin. It's sin sick. I'm going to add another word to it to get it straight here so you don't misunderstand me. I want you to understand that the world is really tainted and diseased with unbelief and with no faith in God. And that's the reason why America's suffering like they are now. It's not because of the Republicans or the Democrats. It's because y'all, all of you, threw his word out. That's the problem. And it goes to every branch of the government, and every person is personally responsible for allowing that travesty to take place. And you know what? That's why the scripture says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You can't have righteousness apart from the truth. American Republican democracy will not work without the truth. It was founded on God's word, and if God's word is not in it, that's why it ain't working. That's why it ain't working. That's why it's messed up. That's why we have people who don't even understand common decency running the world right now. And we need to get past another soapbox. Let me get back off of it. I want to let you know here today that these things are very important. So this protection that I talked with you about, let's read the scripture here and you'll get the idea as we go along. Psalms 91:1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Now look at that. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He, notice that, it's not the government, it's not the militia, it's not the Pentagon or any of that. It's not the nations of the world. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper, he says here, and from the deadly pestilence. Deadly pestilence, think about that for a minute. It is He who delivers you from the deadly pestilence. That doesn't mean you won't encounter some kind of a sickness. You may, but He can deliver you from the deadly pestilence. You see that? And we'll not say much more about that. Verse 4, Psalm 91:4. And He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. The faithfulness of God is your shield that covers you and protects you. And it's a bulwark. That means an enforced, reinforced compound that protects you, covers you, wraps you on all sides, keeps the enemy out. See, and He is the one who is a shield and a bulwark for you and me. So that's kind of an old KJV word. In other words, it's a fortress around you of protection. Doesn't mean you won't be attacked. Understand that. Who needs a fortress? What's the purpose of a bulwark if no one is attacking you? You don't really need it, do you? But He knows there's going to be an attack because there are two kinds of people in the world. There are believers in Christ, and there are unbelievers who don't believe in Christ. So of those two kinds, there's going to be confusion and trouble. Some of the believers are getting taken off the path because they walk in some kind of a situation where they have doubt and fear, and we see that all through the Word. The purpose of this lesson here today for us is to help us learn how to be navigating through life with secret information. God wants to give you secret information from His Word. It's in the book. You know, you say, boy, you know, how can it be secret? This is the most widely published document in the history of printing in the world. It's God's Word, but it's the most suppressed in so many places, and that's the reason there's so much confusion. You know what people say? That we don't need that. That's old school stuff. They throw that out. Throw it out. Well, that's the problem. You don't understand it because you don't have the secret knowledge that God will give you if you have faith. If you have faith, He will turn on something in your brain and in your life to cause you to understand that what He has said is the absolute truth, and that you can walk in it. And that it's binding and it cannot fail. That's what Jesus knew as He hung there between heaven and earth and was spit on and crucified, mauled, mocked, ridiculed, scandalized for your sin and mine. He understood that God's word cannot fail. The scripture cannot be broken is what He said. And the fact is, He hung there until He could say, it is finished. I have finished the things that God has given me to do as the Son in the flesh. Came in the flesh and took care of it to show you that what Adam went through was like a picnic compared to what Jesus had to go through. Adam suffered just a little temptation from the devil, actually. And he didn't get tempted. Actually, his wife did. And because of his choice, he chose to sin. We don't understand that. But that little bit of sin, as the Bible says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It's still messed up right now, except for those being delivered and redeemed out of the sin by the Son of God, who came in and did everything the Father said he must do. So he wants to teach you and me how to be navigating through life with secret information. Now, how do you get this secret information? You may ask. Well, let me explain it. When you trust Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, and then he said, you shall be saved. Now, you know what happens when you believe God has raised his Son from the dead, which is the most important and obvious fact. It's obvious because all the people needed to do who hated him was produce a dead body and say, yeah, there he is. He's dead. But you know what? That didn't happen. You know why? Because he got out of the grave. 3 days and three nights, he rose from the dead and was seen by many witnesses, and including his disciples that he had called. He was seen for 40 days after he got out the grave. So you know what? Nobody could produce that body because that body is alive right now. Hallelujah. Then he ascended after 40 days back into heaven from which he came. See? And so think about that whole process there. That's what I want you to talk about today. What think about today is the fact that God has given his Son, and he did this so that if you trust him, I can fill you with the Holy Spirit, give you secret information so that you can understand why this document is the best, perfect, most complete, and binding document that has ever been given. And that's where your strength is going to come from. So God's going to teach you navigating through life with secret information. And it's only secret because if you don't believe it, you don't get it. If you don't believe God, why should he teach you anything else? That's why Jesus said he taught in parables, because it would reveal truth to those who believe, and it would conceal truth from those who don't. And so if you want the secret information, you want to be in the group that is under the shelter of the Most High, get into God's Word so you can understand what he says and what it means, not only what it says, but what it means and how it applies to you. Trust Christ. That's the only way. That's the key. And we're going to see that as we study today. So moving back to Psalms 91, he says in verse 5, I want to get you here. It says, Psalms 91 and 5, you will not be afraid of the terror by night. Look at that. So that's part of this protection from the secret information from God. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day. See, a lot of stuff threatening you in life, you shall not be afraid. You know why? Because it wouldn't even make a difference. Shoot me down with an arrow or whatever kind of thing you got, God's got me covered, and not even the grave will take me out. I'll go in the grave if it's required by God, but I won't stay there, because Jesus got out, and he told me to trust him. And he has the solution to the problem of death. No one else does. You know how we know? Because none of them ever got up when they died. Name somebody. I'm not going to name them, but think about who all these folk are telling you believe in this, that, or the other. The fact is, one got out of the grave. And he's the only one who has the problem, solution to the problem of death. We're worried about vaccinations and all that. You know, one got out of the grave and has authority over death in the grave. And he is the only one, and he's the only one you should trust. Because we talk about all this stuff, modern medicine and how wonderful. You know what? Jesus didn't need medicine. He gave sight to the blind. He cleansed lepers. He walked on the water. He stilled the storm. He was the only one who could have went down there and told the hurricane, stop, just stop. You see, and he proved that while he was here, that he has all power in heaven and earth. So he is the one to whom we should trust, especially on that piece that he got up out of the grave after 3 days and nights. So the truth is, many of us are afraid of a lot of things. Psalms 91:5, you will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Or 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation or your dwelling place. See, when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. I don't have to understand it or figure it out. God promised it. That's enough. He promised it, and I'm going to trust him. He's given proof to all men because he raised his own son from the dead and showed him before many witnesses. And then he ascended back where he came from into the presence of the Most High God. So you and I receive secret knowledge when we trust in the gospel, the good news that God has given his son, Jesus, who died for our sins. And he paid the bill before he died on the cross with his own suffering and his own blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, the Bible said. Jesus shed that blood for you. Even if you are hearing me today and you've never trusted him, he shed that blood for you. And if you trust him and believe him, and then, you know what, after all that, and he finished everything God asked and needed. Even God didn't ask, he required it. See? And he spoke it. He prophesied that these things would come to pass. Jesus fulfilled it all and said, it is finished. And he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And then he gave up the ghost. That means his natural human soul went up to God, and it was without a spot, without a blemish, just like the one he gave Adam before he sinned. And so God was satisfied, and he's only satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. So I don't have to worry about, can I satisfy God? Neither do you. Because if you trust Christ, you have satisfied God. God's satisfied with you because you believe the truth. He will not leave you the way he found you. When you get saved, when you trust Christ, the Holy Spirit will be given to you, and he will teach you, he will lead you and guide you to all truth. In other words, he will continue to reveal God's word to you so you can continue to grow by faith and in God's grace from day to day. And you must trust Christ. That's the only requirement. And that's why it's gospel. It's good news that God has dealt with the whole problem, and he's given you a solution. But you know what? He doesn't just pop your head full of knowledge. You need to study. The Bible says to show thyself approved unto God, as workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know why we're not getting better in our country? We don't need your word now, God. We got prosperity. We got capitalism. We got whatever. We got money. We got gold, silver, precious stones. You know what? You look like a fool in a coffin with some gold, silver, and precious stones. And you don't have Jesus in your life. You see what I'm saying? So let's look on here. I want you to see this one here about how this secret knowledge comes to you. Looking in the New Testament scripture, Matthew 16. Let's go with this, verses 13 to 19. When Jesus had come into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do ye men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he calls himself the Son of Man. You know why? Because he descended through the seed of Adam, through the seed of Abraham, all the way up to Mary, and he was born. He has a legal right to be called a Son of Man because he came out of a womb of a virgin, yet he was not impregnated by any man. In other words, she was not, let's say, Mary was not impregnated by any man, but she was impregnated by God, the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus came forth from the womb of a virgin without sin as a result of his supernatural conception. And then he lived a life spotless as he learned obedience through the things that he suffered in this world, learned God's word thoroughly as a human being, and then executed it perfectly. Understand that, and became the only one who has ever lived in this world without sin. He did all that for me and you. Matthew 16, we have read verse 13, and says, who do people say? He wants to ask his disciples, who do folks say that the Son of Man is? Who do they say? He just asked the question, general question. Verse 14, response from the disciples. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. People saying different stuff because they see the supernatural work that Jesus is doing. And these are the responses that are going around. We would say this is the scuttlebutt going around in Israel about who the Son of Man is. They see the miracles. They understand the great things that he has done. They heard the great teaching that he taught and all of that. And he's raised folks from the dead. He's given sight to the blind. He's walked on the water. He stilled the storm. He fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. He's done all kinds of stuff, giving sight to the blind, healing people of leprosy and withered hands and all kinds of stuff. He's just showed off and showed up and showed off that he is God. And so everybody's saying different stuff. Well, he must be John the Baptist because John the Baptist had been put to death. Or he must be one of the prophets come back to life. Or maybe he's Elijah that's supposed to come before the great and terrible day of God, as it said in Malachi in the 4th chapter. But so people were saying different things. And he asked his disciples in chapter 16, verse 15, and he says unto his disciples again, "But whom do ye say that I am?" He asked them again a second time. That's what the people say. What do you say? And I'm going to ask you right now, who do you think Jesus is? Do you understand who he is? Do you know in your heart of hearts that he is the way, the truth, and the life? Do you understand that he loves you, he's the only Savior of the world, that he is God in human flesh, God the Son, who came into the world to take up on him the penalty of sin for all of time and for all of humanity, for everyone who trusts in him? If you don't trust him, he doesn't bear your sin. If you do trust and believe in him, he does bear your sin. So you're in one of two groups. You're in the group who trust him and believe that God raised him from the dead and you're saved, or you're in the group who does not know him or does not trust him, does not want him, whatever your reason is. You can have a million reasons, but if you don't trust him, you're in the other group. And so you need to understand that. And when you're in, pick the group. And I'm persuading you, get in the right group. Get in the group that's saved. Get in the group that's blessed. Get in the group that receives secret knowledge from God so you can learn how to navigate through this very difficult world that we live in. So you can have confidence about the scary stuff in life, like the psalmist said in Psalms 91. Trust Christ right now and believe that God is raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. That's the promise of God. Whosoever believes in the name of the Son of God shall not be put to death. It shall not be put to shame. It's going to be shameful on Judgment Day if you rejected Christ, as obvious as God has placed him in your life. He's in there whether you want to be or not. And you can say, "I don't believe him," but the calendar and your birth certificate, every document you write, and even your tombstone will be based on the first advent of Christ. So you should trust him. You really ought to, and I persuade you. I speak and plead with you. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. That's a promise. It's the edict of the Most High God. So I hope you don't reject it. These disciples came and said, Jesus said, "Well, whom do ye say that I am?" And then Simon Peter spoke up. He's the leader of the group. Notice he's called Simon Peter. His old name was Simon. Jesus said, "Your name is going to now be Peter," which means stone. And so he said, Simon Barjona answered and said, "Thou art the Christ." That means Messiah. That's the Greek word is Christos, which is a transliteration of the word Moshiach from the Hebrew, which is Messiah. So Christ is equivalent to the word Messiah. He is the Christ, which is a Greek rendering of Moshiach, which is Messiah. So I want you to understand that. And this is not my language course. But in either case, he is the Son of the living God. Not only is he the Son of man, but he is the Son of God. Why? Because God the Holy Spirit conceived him in the womb of the Virgin, and she was with child of the Holy Ghost. It says in Matthew chapter 1. And that was exactly the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14, that behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew 1:23 says Emmanuel means God with us. So understand, yes, he is the Son of man. He is the Son of God. He is both. He is the Son of God, and he is the Son of righteousness, too, who will arise with healing in his wings. I'll show you that if we have time. Time's running down. Let's move along. So Simon Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, here's how I want you to know you have secret information when you believe Jesus. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto Simon, or him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall also be bound, shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So he gave authority to his church. That's authority that's given to the church to execute the things that God has promised. If we bind it, that means we say this is just like you go get an insurance policy. It's not bound until you pay the money. You pay up and that policy is bound. Well, he said, whatever you bind on earth, that means when I speak the precepts of the Most High God through secret knowledge that he gives me, it's only secret because I believe him and you don't if you don't believe him. You know, you can get in on the secret too if you trust Christ. He wants you to have the knowledge. It's right here. It's been sitting in your face all your life. You may have one on your coffee table or in the back room or on the shelf covered with dust or something. Get it out and study it. Read it. Study to show yourself approved unto God. And the culture's thrown it out, so we don't even know what it says anymore as a nation. We have people who are totally biblically ignorant, and they think they're flying by the seat of their pants in their own power, and that's how everything's going down because I am so wonderful. No, you're not. Sorry, I disagree. Christ is all in all. And so I want to give you one more thing. Time's gone, and I'll take up some more of this lesson on Wednesday, and we pray to God you'll be here with us. We didn't have as much time to delve into the very deep things of this lesson today. But I want you to know God wants you to have specific secret knowledge. And it's only secret because people who don't believe him cannot receive it. So, but it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. Those who don't believe. But God wants you to believe and we want you to believe. Closing with this. And I got to get on because it is my anniversary, my 12th anniversary, and I'm anxious to be with my honey and be with her the rest of the day here. So in either case, let me go ahead. I want you to hear the last book of the Bible in the Old Testament, book of Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all that are proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch, but unto those that fear my name. These are the two groups I just talked about, those who believe Christ and those who don't. Those first verses are those who don't, verse 1. Verse 2 are those who do. But unto them that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and shall grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord. See that? So you're in one group or the other. We hope you choose the right group. Trust Christ. Believe God is raising from the dead, and you shall be saved. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him at Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That's how the Old Testament ends, with a curse. God is trying to change the hearts of the fathers back to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Right now, so we pray that you will consider and put your faith in Christ right now. I'm going to just say a quick word of prayer and then I have to go. Time's out. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, bless every ear that is hearing right now this good news. Maybe they didn't understand it before, but maybe today they do, Lord, and they repent and they want to be saved. So Father, save them right now. Some of us who are saved, Father, we shudder a little to think about the wrath and the judgment is about to fall upon this world. So we pray for our government. We pray for this whole culture and this whole United States of America who has cast your word aside. Lord God, forgive us. Forgive the church. Forgive the sinners. Lord God, help us. We know it's your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And Father, save that one right now who just understood what Jesus did and how he did it for them. And let them know for sure that they are saved. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Give them supernatural revelation, Lord God, so that they can understand the secret things which you have put in your word, Father. They're really only there for those who trust and believe in you. Father, bless us today. Thank you for 12 years with a beautiful wife. And God bless our marriage, our home, our family, and our ministry, Lord God. And we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. And we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'm going to give God a praise right now. Amen. And we hope that you have too. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead and we thank you for tuning in to St. Timothy MB Church, Straight Gate Ministries, teachingbible.org. Catch it later or send it to a friend on anchor.fm We have that link on our website on the front page now, so you can just click over to it. So God bless you. Have a blessed day. We hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen.